Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley, this is CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Our next guest was drafted by the St. Louis Blues in the fourth round of the 2016 NHL Draft, and spent four seasons in the Western Hockey League with the Brandon Wheat Kings and Victoria Royals. He's in his first season with the Barracuda and his fifth at the professional ranks. We are pleased to welcome Barracuda forward Tanner Kaspik to the CUDA Confidential podcast. Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We are pleased to be joined by Barracuda forward Tanner Kaspik. First and foremost, thank you for the time. I just want to ask, it's been a couple of months now in the Bay Area. How are you liking your time in San Jose so far?
It's been awesome. The guys have been great. The fans have been great. And the weather is certainly better than where I'm from back home in Canada. So I've been enjoying that a lot.
We'll dive into your hometown. You're from Brandon, Manitoba. You played your junior hockey there. It is definitely cold this time of year. It's, I'm sure, getting colder and colder on the prairies of Canada. But we'll go through your youth hockey, your junior career, and your professional career. But I do want to start with back in 2016, you were drafted by St. Louis in the fourth round. I believe that draft was in Buffalo. What do you remember about draft day? I don't know if you went to Buffalo, but what do you remember about getting drafted by the Blues?
I didn't go to the draft, actually. My grad was the night before, so I was kind of debating it leading up, but was happy that I decided to stay at home, go to my grad, and had a fun night with kind of all my high school buddies, and then just kind of woke up that morning, and then my best friend, actually from Brandon, got drafted that same year with me, and he was in Brandon at the time too, so we had a really fun day.
Well, most kids who take the junior hockey route, they aren't able to go to high school with maybe the kids they went to in middle school or even elementary school. It, probably not the case for you. Were these the same kids that you grew up with basically since you were, you know, a young kid in elementary school?
Yeah, no, the high school I went to in grade 9, 10 before I played on the Wheat Kings, I was able to stay there for grades 11 and 12, even though the rest of the guys on my team went to the other school in Brandon. So it was nice to be able to kind of still have that time at school with my buddies from home and not just the teammates. And yeah, no, really grateful I was able to graduate from there too.
So St. Louis drafts you in the fourth round. Did you have any idea the Blues were interested?
Yeah, they showed interest throughout the year and at the combine. I knew they're kind of one of the teams that showed some interest. It's kind of hard to get a read that year, but they were definitely a team of note. But we were watching the TV, and I think it was like a commercial break or something. My agent called me and told me the news. So yeah, no, it was a special memory for sure.
What are the emotions that goes through the mind and maybe the heart of a player when it's one step in your journey, but a big step to be drafted? What are the feelings when that does occur?
Yeah, it was a lot of excitement for sure. Just it's nice to be around the family at the time too, because you know that those are the people that get you there, as well as you, like all your buddies, the guys you play with growing up. So to be able to spend that day with all of them was special, and we were all just pumped.
So we mentioned you're from Brandon. You played for the Brandon Wheat Kings in the Western Hockey League. You played your youth hockey in Brandon as well. Is it in a foregone conclusion that you drafted by your hometown team, or is that something that kind of came out of the blue too?
Yeah, like then again, knew they were interested, but you don't know if it's gonna line up at the draft. It wasn't like I was telling other teams I wouldn't go there either. So it just kind of worked out that I was available for their second round pick there. And when I got to that point of the draft, I had a pretty good idea I'd be going there, but going into it, definitely didn't know for sure, but that's where I wanted to get drafted. And Yeah, no, super glad to be able to play at home.
So it's not like the Wheat Kings had any sort of advantage over other teams because you played for their youth hockey program.
No, there's no protection or anything like that. Just a regular draft pick.
Well, Brandon is in the prairies of Manitoba. I don't know how far it is from Winnipeg, but that would be your closest NHL team to Brandon. And that franchise, I was looking it up, they've been around for a long, long time. I believe since the 30s. So there's a lot of tradition there. And it's obviously a great hockey town in Canada as a whole, as a country. And Brandon in Manitoba, just a great hockey community. So what was it like growing up in Brandon, Manitoba?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think one of the best parts of it was just how many buddies that just kind of were in my neighborhood that I played hockey with all the way till I played junior. So we had a really competitive group of friends that we play road hockey or backyard baseball after every single school day and in the summers and all day. And then, you know, pretty long cold winters where hockey's the main thing, and we had a rink in our backyard, so we'd skate out there with my two brothers and my parents, and we always had a competitive age group though of a lot of good hockey players, and that's kind of the only thing going there. And like we had Matt Calvert and Ryan White would have been the NHL guys kind of at the time, and they were always around in the summer like being mentors and stuff like that. So yeah, just very, very tight knit hockey community. And I think you see a lot of guys now starting to kind of come out of that area and stuff, but a lot of fun, really, really great spot to grow up. And they really support the Wheat Kings too. So that was cool.
Describe to us that backyard rink. What was that thing looking like? When was your dad flooding it? Like, when did that all start? At what time of year? And just what it looked like?
God, I wouldn't even remember the details because there's pictures of me out there when I was like whatever 2 or 3 years old, so it was before my memory even. But it was a pretty good size sheet, and I got some memories playing against my mom out there even when my dad was at work, my older brother's at school. Like, yeah, no, a lot of it would get cold, but a lot of fun memories out there for sure.
So when you were out on the ice, kind of wheeling around, who was the player that you were imagining that you were?
Back then, I was a big Ryan Smith fan, like when the Oilers were good, like 06 kind of range. I'd say probably him. And then as Crosby was coming in the league too. I've always cheered for Crosby.
So were you a big Oilers fan just because the Jets weren't around probably for most of your childhood?
Yeah, I think like as a kid, I was honestly a bigger Wheat Kings fan than I was like any NHL team. And I'd say like I'd kind of hop on the bandwagon of whatever Canadian team was doing well when I was young. But then I kind of picked up the Senators and I rode with them for a while.
So when you were drafted by the Wheat Kings and you play your first game with the Wheat Kings, was that kind of a dream come true for you?
Yeah, for sure. Like, getting drafted in the first place was obviously exciting, but then just kind of every first training camp, exhibition game, were all pretty memorable just because of how much I looked up to those guys growing up and everything. So just a really well-run franchise, especially like at the time, the amount of good players we had, and they still do there. So it's grateful that I was able to go through that system for sure.
We'll talk about the Wheat Kings a little bit. You had some great teams. You guys won a WHL championship 1 year, but after 3.5 years, you're traded to Victoria. And I believe, so correct me if I'm wrong, in that league, you can't be traded without the approval of the player. Is that correct?
No, they can trade you without your approval. But I think maybe if you're still in high school, that would be the case. But when I got traded at 19, it wasn't.
Okay, so I knew there was some sort of window. So the younger players, there's a factor of they've got to approve it. So you were traded from your hometown team, Brandon, to Victoria, which isn't a bad spot to live. That's a pretty good town to live in and a good franchise. But what was it like to leave your hometown and deal with the first time being traded?
Yeah, it was kind of mixed emotions at the start just because I was sad that my time with the Wheat Kings was done. But Vic was awesome, like unbelievable city. We had a really like older team there at the time, so it was no problem going in there and fitting in right away. And nothing but good times, good things to say about my time in Vic for sure.
So before you were traded in Brandon, we noted it, you won a WHL championship, and your backup goaltender on that team, pretty well known in the National Hockey League now, Logan Thompson. And you also had a couple of other guys. Nolan Patrick was on that team, who was a high pick of Philly, obviously has dealt with some injuries in his career. Ivan Provorov, another notable guy. What do you remember about that team? And I'm going to ask you here in a moment about Logan Thompson, just his kind of untraditional path, if you will, to the NHL. But what was special about that group?
Yeah, I mean, just a really good junior team. Like, there's some guy, like, I mean, John Quenville was a first round pick. Hauerlich was just, like, dominant for us in that playoffs too. And just a group of characters though, like a lot of crazy memories of that year, just off the ice and in the dressing room and stuff. But we all got along really well, and it was just it was cool to see just the city kind of get behind us during those runs, because we went to the finals the year before too, and we lost in the finals. So to be able to kind of get back there and redeem ourselves, like, it was definitely my favorite hockey memory.
So I want to ask you about Logan Thompson. We saw him in the AHL a couple of years ago, and he was coming off a season in the ECHL, undrafted guy, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, during the COVID season, this guy was incredible. I mean, he was the best goalie in the AHL, and it came basically out of the blue. Did you see this coming at all for him, to be able to get to the NHL and put the career together that he's been able to accomplish so far?
I mean, it's like, it's not surprising at all to me. Just having played with him, he, even when he was backing up for us, like Jordan Paperny, who was our starter, was unreal for us. So it wasn't even a question of LT like not being ready. But even that following year, I don't think he like was doing like crazy good in the dub, but in practice he was always just impossible to score on. Like, he was so good, and like, I just knew, and then you'd see flashes of in games, and you knew if he ever kind of did that consistently, you know, the sky was the limit for him.
That team was owned by Kelly McCrimmon, who is the GM of the Golden Knights. I think, and I'm assuming he was kind of your de facto GM as well when he owned the team. What was it like playing under him and seeing kind of his success in the NHL?
Yeah, really, really influential guy in my career for sure. He was the GM, like owner and coach, my first 2 years playing there. But just a really, really professional guy who kind of taught us to be adults and to be pros at a young age. And he made a number of like lopsided trades in the dub. So it's funny to see him kind of go up to the NHL and kind of make waves up there in the management side as well. And happy for him to get a cup there.
You started your career, you were drafted by St. Louis. I think you played a little bit in Manitoba right after your junior career ended, but you really started as a pro in San Antonio in the American Hockey League. What'd you make of your time living down in Texas? And I'm sure that was a welcomed change, I guess, of scenery. It's a beautiful place to live, but also a culture shock for you.
Yeah, it was different for sure, but like, yeah, a great spot to live. Like, so it was no issue moving down there, getting set up at a place. We had that year, we kind of like had a team thrown together where it wasn't guys who played with each other the year before. So it kind of made it, coming in as a rookie, it kind of made it feel like everyone was in the same boat rather than coming into an already formed like group. But I was fortunate enough to have some older guys who kind of took me under their wing a bit and showed me the ropes. But it was a really nice city. Like, it's too bad that they don't have a team in the American League anymore.
Well, you had a lot of different goaltenders on that group as well, including Jordan Binnington, who obviously went on to win a Stanley Cup with St. Louis, even Ville Husso. I remember him being in San Antonio as well. So you've had some goalies during your career that have went on to accomplish pretty big things. That's another guy that came out of nowhere in Jordan Binnington, always a kind of a fiery character. Did you expect him, and did you see any sort of, I guess, indications that he was going to be able to turn into the player that he's become?
Yeah, well, like, at the start of the year, I didn't know where – I knew he was, like, fourth in the depth chart, who so was our starter, and Binner wasn't getting much, like, many looks at all. And he was one of the guys who kind of I hung out with a lot my first year. We were neighbors at our apartment place, and he just kind of every time he went in, he just had like an unbelievable game. And then he went on a run before he got called up where it was like the best goaltending I've ever seen. So that in that sense, I wasn't surprised, but it was just cool to have a front row seat to just kind of a Cinderella story of starting as the four string and winning the cup by the end of the year. It was cool to see that how fast things can change in this business.
So for you, you're still very much in the early stages of your career, but you are now in your fifth season of professional hockey, and you started with St. Louis's organization. Last year, you were in Iowa with the Wild. Now you're here with the Barracuda under the umbrella of the San Jose Sharks. So as a player from year one now to this point of your career, how have things kind of changed for you and slowed down at this level?
Yeah, I think, you know, you just try and get a little better every year. And I think every year you just feel a little more comfortable. And some of it comes with opportunity you're given. And some of it's just kind of just building the confidence from the actual improvements that you've made. And I think just kind of a combination of that has made the game more fun as the years kind of progressed in my pro career. And just trying to kind of continue that trajectory.
How have you evolved your game from the time that you were in junior, where you are a point per game player, you're wearing the C in your final season at Brandon, to now? I mean, you've had to adjust and you've had to adapt your game, but how have things changed and how have you been able to take on maybe a different responsibility and role as opposed to when you were in junior?
Yeah, and I kind of went through it at the start of my junior career as well, where growing up, you're kind of always the guy. And then I was on the fourth line pretty much my whole rookie year and third line my second year, but kind of still that like depth center role that I've played at this level. So I had some familiarity with it, and it's nice to just be able to continue to expand that as my career is going on. And definitely at the start, it's uncomfortable to know that you're a mistake away from kind of sitting out, and it's tough to play hockey that way. So it's an adjustment to play with that short of a leash. But yeah, like I said, I think it's something I'm getting more comfortable with.
Now that you have established yourself in the lineup, and when we're speaking, don't want to date this interview, dealing with a little bit of an injury situation. So you've sat out the last handful of games, but aside from that, you're almost a guarantee to be penciled into the lineup just from a confidence standpoint, as you alluded to. Maybe not as much pressure to make a mistake or have a mistake occur. That's got to go a long way in a player's confidence and just having a consistency to their game.
Yeah, for sure. I think you start focusing more on just trying to win a hockey game rather than how you're playing yourself. And that obviously has a tremendous impact on how you're going to play and how you're going to feel out there. So I'm grateful for the trust that J-Mac showed me so far this year, and just kind of looking to keep expanding that role.
For any player, especially when you're in the AHL, just one step away from the National Hockey League, there's a dream to get to the highest level for kids and youth, college players and pros, right? Everybody wants to get to the highest level. Is that something that continually motivates you in your career, that you still want to get to the National Hockey League and fulfill those dreams?
Yeah, for sure. I think I no longer try and focus too much on the outcomes of things, and just try to, you know, I know I'm a professional hockey player, so just try to keep becoming a better hockey player and just kind of see where that takes me. That's kind of been more my attitude lately. And you see plenty of examples of different career paths. And so you just never really know. You just got to be able to show up and be at your best to give yourself the best shot.
The doctor will see you now.
But do they really? Do they see you as a mother who's a daughter and a caregiver? Fearless, but sometimes fearful? A health nut with a French fry habit? An O-positive geologist named Patty, who's here today for a melanoma exam? At Kaiser Permanente, we believe the only way to care for all of you is by seeing all that is you. Kaiser Permanente, for all that is you. Learn more at kp.org.
We're talking to Barracuda for Tanner Kaspic. This is year number one for you in San Jose, and we asked you a little bit about just your time so far in the Bay Area. The answer I get from a lot of guys, especially when they're from colder weather cities, is their favorite thing about this area is the weather. So I want to ask, what is your favorite thing about San Jose, non-weather related?
Ooh, probably the Mexican food so far. Just a lot of good, authentic Mexican that I've really been enjoying. Good seafood as well. But yeah, those would be up there. I've been enjoying Trader Joe's by my house as well.
I love it. Yep, those are two things. Trader Joe's, it's an underrated thing. But when you aren't in the area, that's something I miss. And Mexican food, as someone who grew up in California, I tell people all the time, we've got the best Mexican food in the country. Now, I know it's a little bit different down in Texas and whatnot, but maybe I'm biased, but I think it's as good as it gets in this area.
Yeah, no, I'd agree completely.
So I want to ask, what are you doing away from the rink? What are some hobbies that you've picked up maybe during your time here, or something that you just always like to do when you're not playing?
During the summertime, I like to golf a lot, but kind of during the season, I lose the bug a bit. But I like to get out to the driving range a little more here in some of the afternoons, because when it was nicer out, a lot of hanging by the pool in the afternoons, just enjoying the sun. I like to go to the movie theater quite a bit, and that's usually don't miss a movie coming in there. But yeah, no, haven't been doing a lot other than that lately.
So you mentioned movie theater. So what is there a specific maybe genre of movies or a favorite movie of all time that's at the top of the list for you?
It's tough to name a favorite, but The Holdovers in theaters right now is good. What else have I seen good lately? The Killer on Netflix I enjoyed. But yeah, no, I just I kind of like seeing everything and just seeing if something different could surprise me.
So you signed with the Barracuda this summer, a little bit later in the summer. So tell us how that all kind of transpired. I'm sure it was a situation where maybe the organization had reached out to your agent or vice versa. But how did that all come to be? And then just thoughts of thinking potentially coming back to the Pacific Division and making your way out west, that I'm sure that had to be kind of an intriguing opportunity.
Yeah, just in the summertime, my agent called me and said the Barracuda expressed interest, and I was obviously thrilled. We played here on the road when I was on Iowa last year, and it was just could tell it would be a really good spot to play. So when I heard of that, I was pumped. And the Pacific is the best road cities possible in the American League. Like, the places we go are hard to beat. So that's a huge advantage. And yeah, just, it's also just nice to be part of a fresh organization, kind of get a bit of a fresh start.
Coming out to the Bay Area, you mentioned that you had come out here the prior year as a member of the Wild, and we talked about some of the things that you've been enjoying maybe away from the rink. I always like to ask guys, if you weren't a pro hockey player, what do you think you'd be doing for a career?
That's tough. Like, I enjoyed school in high school and everything, and had I just gone straight into university, I probably would have done something in, like, finance or economics and seen where that took me, but I truly have no idea what I'd be doing.
Is that something that you are currently doing? Are you interested in maybe keeping an eye on the stock market and just taking care of your money and all that?
Yeah, I'll do a bit of that, like just on my own. I'm not taking any like actual like accredited courses or anything, but I like to kind of play around with different areas, and whether it's podcasts or books, and just kind of learn that way.
So are there any books maybe that you're reading right now on the road? And is that, you mentioned movies, books. I'm sure these are things that help fill your time.
Yeah. What do I just read? Killers of the Flower Moon I read before I watched the movie there. And yeah, it's a good book. What else have I read? God, you're stumping me here, Nolly. Yeah.
Hey, man, that's more books than I've read all year.
So. Sapiens is my all-time rec, though. That's my all-time recommendation.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. Say the name again. I want to make sure that I'm getting
Sapiens.
Sapiens, okay.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm sure, about the evolution of human beings, is that?
Exactly.
Okay, I'll check it out. Well, we appreciate the time, man. It's been great getting to know you this season. It's been a couple of months, but obviously a great guy. You fit in perfectly into the locker room, and you know, we wish you health moving forward as you try to get back on the ice here. And I know it's only a matter of time, but thank you again for the time, and continued success.
Yes, no worries. Thanks a lot, Nolan.
That'll do it for this episode of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger saying thanks for listening and so long until next time.
This has been a presentation of San Jose Barracuda Hockey.